Slow Swift said, Vin assumed that Yeoman was pretty much a standard resource obligator. Dry, boring, but terribly efficient. And so, of course, he'd chosen to make his old canton building into his palace. It was what Set had suspected, and Vin could easily see that it was true. The building bustled with activity despite the late hour, and was guarded by platoons of soldiers. Yeoman had probably chosen the building in order to remind everyone where his authority originated. Unfortunately, it was also where the Lord Ruler's supply cache would be located. Vin sighed, turning from her contemplation of the building. Part of her wanted to sneak in and try to find her way down to the cavern beneath. Instead, she dropped a coin and shot herself into the air. Even Kelsier wouldn't have tried breaking into the place on his first night of scouting. She'd gotten into the one in her toe, but it had been abandoned. She had to confer with Elland and study the city for a few days before she did something as bold as sneak into a fortified palace. Using starlight and tin, Vin read off the name of the third and final informant. It was another nobleman, which wasn't surprising, considering Set's own station. She began moving in the direction indicated. However, as she moved, she noticed something. She was being followed. She only caught hints of him behind her, obscured by the patterns of swirling mist. Tentatively, Vin burned bronze, and was rewarded with a very faint thumping from behind. An obscured allomantic pulse. Usually, when an allomancer burned copper, as the one behind her was doing, it made him invisible to the allomantic bronze sense. Yet, for some reason Vin had never been able to explain, she could see through this obfuscation. The Lord Ruler had been able to do likewise, as had his inquisitors. Vin continued to move. The allomancer following her obviously believed himself, or herself, invisible to Vin's senses. He moved with quick, easy bounds, following at a safe distance. He was good without being excellent, and he was obviously mistborn, for only a mistborn could have burned both copper and steel at the same time. Vin wasn't surprised. She'd assumed that if there were any mistborn in the city, her leaping would draw their attention. Just in case, she hadn't bothered burning any copper herself, leaving her pulses open to be heard by anyone, mistborn or seeker, who was listening. Better an enemy drawn out than one hiding in the shadows. She increased her pace, though not suspiciously so, and the person following had to move quickly to keep up. Vin kept going toward the front of the city, as if planning to leave. As she got closer, her allomantic senses produced twin blue lines pointing at the massive iron brackets holding the city gates to the rock at their sides. The brackets were large, substantial sources of metal, and the lines they gave off were bright and thick, which meant they would make excellent anchors. Flaring her pewter to keep from being crushed, Vin pushed on the brackets, throwing herself backward. Immediately, the allomantic pulses behind her disappeared. Vin shot through ash and mist, even her tight clothing flapping slightly from the wind. She quickly pulled herself down to a rooftop and crouched, tense. The other allomancer must have stopped burning his metals. But why would he do that? Did he know that she could pierce copper clouds? If he did, then why had he followed her so recklessly? Vin felt a chill. There was something else that gave off allomantic pulses in the night. The mist spirit. She hadn't seen it in over a year. In fact, during her last encounter with it, it had nearly killed Elland, only then to restore him by making him mistborn. She still didn't know how the spirit fit into all of this. It wasn't Ruin. She had felt Ruin's presence when she'd freed him at the Well of Ascension. They were different. I don't even know if this was the spirit tonight, Vin told herself. Yet the one tailing her had vanished so abruptly. Confused and chilled, she pushed herself out of the city and quickly made her way back to Ellen's camp. One final aspect of the Lord Ruler's cultural manipulation is quite interesting. That of technology. I have already mentioned that Rashik chose to use Hleni architecture, which allowed him to construct large structures, and gave him the civil engineering necessary to build a city as large as Luthadel. In other areas, however, he suppressed technological advancements. Gunpowder, for instance, was so frowned upon by Rashik that knowledge of its use disappeared almost as quickly as knowledge of the terrorist religion. Apparently, Rashik found it alarming that armed with gunpowder weapons, even the most common of men could be nearly as effective as archers with years of training. And so he favored archers. The more training-dependent military technology was, the less likely it was that the peasant population would be able to rise up and resist him. Indeed, Ska revolts always failed in part for this very reason. 28.
"Are you sure it was the Mist Spirit?" Elland asked, frowning, a half-finished letter, scribed into a steel foil sheet, sitting on his desk before him. He'd decided to sleep in his cabin aboard the narrowboat, rather than in a tent. Not only was it more comfortable, he felt more secure with walls around him as opposed to canvas. Finn sighed, sitting down on their bed, pulling her legs up and setting her chin on her knees.
"I don't know. I kind of got spooked, so I fled."
"Good thing," Elland said, shivering as he remembered what the Mist Spirit had done to him.
"Sazed was convinced that the Mist Spirit wasn't evil," Vin said.
"So was I," Elland said. "If you'll remember, I'm the one who walked right up to it, telling you that I felt it was friendly. That was right about the time it stabbed me."
Vin shook her head.
"It was trying to keep me from releasing Ruin. It thought that if you were dying, I would take the power for myself and heal you, rather than giving it up."
"You don't know its intentions for certain, Vin. You could be connecting coincidences in your mind."
"Perhaps. However, it led Sazed to discover that Ruin was altering text."
That much, at least, was true, if indeed Sazed's account of the matter could be trusted. The Terraceman had been a little bit inconsistent since Tyndwill had died. "No," Elland told himself, feeling an instant stab of guilt. "No, Sazed is trustworthy. He might be struggling with his faith, but he is still twice as reliable as the rest of us."
"Oh, Elland," Vin said softly, "there's so much we don't know. Lately I feel like my life is a book written in a language I don't know how to read. The Mist Spirit is related to all this, but I can't even begin to fathom how."
"It's probably on our side," Elland said, though it was hard not to keep flashing back to memories of how it had felt.